Turn with me, if you will, this morning to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. The book of Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, as we begin our series through the book of Proverbs. Now, I have never preached Proverbs before. I've taught different Proverbs, but never preached through that. And you will realize that one of the things you'll see is that the first nine chapters are easy to preach from. After that, I get to pick and choose, I guess. But there's so many singular items from chapter 9 on. So we'll see how that all works out. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. You know, it's been said that when things are somewhat quiet or when things are peaceful or the conflicts in our life are not quite as difficult as they are other days, it's on those days that we should take the time to be strengthening our walk with the Lord, to be strengthening our ability to learn, our ability to understand and reflect upon God, because when the trouble, the big trouble actually comes, if we haven't done that, we were talking about this in Sunday school, if we haven't done that, we're already behind the eight ball. We're already have lost the initial battles because we're not prepared for the battles in any way, shape, or form. So almost 3,000 years ago now, Solomon compiled and wrote this book of the Proverbs so that we would know how to live the life daily that God expects for his children to know, that we would know and constantly reminded of the necessity of being prepared for the battles that God brings into our life day by day, the decisions that have to make. We're always, do we make this choice or do we make that choice? Those are little battles that that cause us to stretch us and grow us, aside from the bigger battles that we deal with as well. But being prepared for that, God gave Solomon these words to give to the church. This book of wisdom, which is, like I said, 3,000 years old. Who reads a 3,000-year-old book? Well, if you open up this book, of course you do. But 3,000 years, this wisdom is as much needed today as it ever has been. And why is that? Well, one of the reasons is because this book of Proverbs is one of the least read books in the church, along with the other wisdom literature like Ecclesiastes or Job or Song of Solomon. We don't read these books. We kind of relegate them to the back porch, if you will, because we don't think they're quite as important as the rest of Scripture, which is just so rich and so full of doctrine and theology and all those things that really get us. And yet, the book of Proverbs is the very word of God for us, the very wisdom of God, the very practical wisdom of God for his church to know how we're to live before him, for his children to live in the world. And when we do live in the world, it describes for us what we will experience from God, the blessings that we will God, just like the rest of Scripture. So there's nothing different, except for its style in the book of Proverbs. It's there to teach and train us. The opening lines beckon us to prepare for what God has in store for us every day of life, requiring us to seek God's wisdom, to seek it with all that we are, all that we have. As I was putting this together, the first, you know, I was thinking about, what is it that we really seek with all our mind? Well, the first thing that came to my mind was my grandsons, Calvin and Milas. They hardly get out of their car before they're looking to start a hunt. A hunt for toads, for anoles, a lizard, for those of you who are not aware of what the anole is, for bugs. We go and look under every rock. We turn over every leaf. Because that's the first thing they want to do when they come to my house. Sometimes I think that's the most important reason they come to my house, is to be able to find stuff they can't find at their house in Corpus. But it's all about the hunt, because as soon as we find something, what do they want to do? They want to go back out to see what else they can find. It's seeking. It's that constant amount of seeking. They never are tired by the hunt. I wonder why we are all too often. Well, we're not children, I guess. But the Bible talks about how important and how of much more worth than toads and anoles and bugs the treasure is. We'll see in Proverbs 2:4, he says, "Seek wisdom like silver, search for it as hidden treasure." We see that same message in the New Testament. Search for that wisdom as if it's treasure. That is, your life is to be consumed in that search. Consumed, but it doesn't have to be hard work in some ways, because right here in the Proverbs, we have what we need. There is work involved to implement what we learn, but it's all here. We don't have to waste steps. You know, when they're here, I can put 10,000 steps on my watch in half a day. Just going around the house, hunting over and over again, because they're consumed with doing that. And here in this book, we have a treasure trove of God's wisdom that we don't spend the time with. And so I'm hoping that by the time we finish this, we will be at a place where we want to seek and search, but even more than that, that we'll come to cherish this much missed out on book. So read with me the prologue here of this wonderfully amazing book of God's wisdom for God's people that show us life along the way. That is, His way. Proverbs 1:1-7. "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Pray with me. Almighty God, as we look at your word this morning, we are reminded of the depth of your word here in a book that gets very little attention, Proverbs. And we thank you, Father, and we pray that your Spirit would open our eyes, our ears, and our heart to receive that which you would have us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. In these seven verses, we have at least three reasons to cherish the word of God given to us in Proverbs. Three reasons to seek and to search for the wisdom of God. First, real simple, Proverbs is practical, verses 1-3. Proverbs is formative, verses 4-6. And Proverbs is personal. The Proverbs are, I guess, correct English, personal, verse 7. Life along the way is very practical. We like to think spiritually, and it is, but it's also very practical. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. Practical. How many of you like gift cards? Really, how many of you like gift cards? I got 1, 2, 3, okay. Why do you like gift cards? They're not very romantic. It's not a very romantic gift. Why do you like gift cards? Because you can get what you're going to use rather than the possibility of not being able to do that. Because you want something that you're going to use. That's why a lot of people would rather have a gift card than just a plain gift. The Proverbs are practical wisdom. Wisdom that is meant to be used daily. The Proverbs cover all our areas of life that sometimes seem gray and uncertain. The Proverbs make that certain. It's important for we to see how this works. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, these are given to know wisdom and instruction. Here at CPC, what do we know? We know a lot of things, but we know for sure that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone. We know that God is sovereign. We know these things. We confess these things. The Scriptures answer that in all realms of the Scriptures as well. But what about the question concerning child rearing? What about the practical concerns about dealing with our elderly parents? What about the big question of whom to marry? What about how to have that hard conversation? What about it? How am I supposed to think about money? Or how do I really love my neighbor well? It's in here. It's in this book. And so much more. Specifically, practical wisdom. The Proverbs are practical wisdom. It's not always a blueprint. It's definitely not a 12-step program. And not every proverb is given with a promise. And yet, living by the practical wisdom that is given here will enable us to experience the blessings of God just like every place else in Scripture. Biblical wisdom, let's talk about that definition in a minute. Biblical wisdom is the knowledge, is taking the knowledge that's given to us and making it work out to the most effective measure of bringing God glory. Practical wisdom not only comforts our desperate hearts, but it encourages and refreshes and assures and empowers God's people. You know, we're always wanting to know, how do we do this? Well, here it is. But how many of us turn to Proverbs to find that out? We are told we're also to know instruction. Biblical instruction is the Hebrew word discipline. I don't know if you all know this, but we're not born wise. I know none of us think we were, but we're not born wise. We have to learn wisdom. Wisdom is taught, so we must know the best sources of wisdom. God delighted in giving us His Word so that we would have the best source of wisdom. And here, it's like a synopsis of all the wisdom we need practically in the book of Proverbs. As Paul said, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for the training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Good work is defined by that work that brings God glory. Simple definition. The Word of God is our discipline. The Proverbs, a much neglected part of that discipline, is part and parcel with that. When we really know something, when it becomes part of who we are, we delight in that. Remember from last week, blessed is the man whose delight is in the instruction of the Lord, who meditates on that day and night. This word, these proverbs will enable us to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. It is God's Word alone, through the work of the Holy Spirit, that enables us to use this Word practically or rightly. We are called, and we will see just how practical this is. We're called to see it, and we will see how practical this book is as we maneuver through this book. But here in this prologue, we are told that it's given to us practically as a life, to live life along the way, to live rightly. Interesting, these three words, righteousness, justice, and equity, pretty much define the same thing. I know in our culture, we've taken the word equity and we've blown it up because we like to redefine things. But you put these three words together and they all exist together. We receive divine instruction so that we can know how to deal wisely. That is, so that we can make the right decision based on God's standard and God's standard alone. Psalm 96 says, God judges with equity. In other words, He always makes the right decision based on who He is and based on His own standard. So we don't have to get complicated with a simple word like equity. Doesn't have to be complicated. Making the right decision based on the right set of standards. And this can be true for the man and woman of God who learns to cherish His Word, learns to cherish this particular part of His Word. So we see from the text that the book of Proverbs is practical. Now we'll see how it's a bit of how it is formative for us as we live life along the way. Verses 4 through 6. Solomon wrote all these to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear, increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. This is formative because the Proverbs are meant to speak to our everyday life. That was Solomon's intent. That was God's intent when he gave this to Solomon. Solomon had been reminded in his reminiscing of all the biblical truths that his father taught him, Father David, as well as all the other wise men that God brought into his life. And so, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he compiled these and gave them to us as a form of teaching, as a form of forming us in our lives going forward. But it's more than just knowledge to be read and set aside. As I said, it is formative. It shapes us. It shapes our thinking. It shapes our direction. It shapes our world. It transforms us, as Paul says in Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So the Proverbs are for us. Paul put it in a long definition. Solomon put it in a short one, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Prudence. The Hebrew word for prudence can also be defined as shrewdness. Prudence. Shrewdness. Proverbs enables us to understand and to know how to govern and discipline ourselves appropriately. The Proverbs teach us skill and good judgment. They teach us to understand evil. They teach us to be cautious. They teach us to see how the little picture fits into the bigger picture. They teach us shrewdness, which also has an interesting biblical definition. It means a successful battle plan. A successful battle plan. And then he commands us in verse 5, let the wise hear increase to learning. Let the one who understands obtain guidance. In other words, how many of us in here have obtained wisdom? How many of us in here have obtained the wisdom of God? No one has, of course. And even those who appear to be wise need to be taught and formed continually throughout life to increase their learning, to obtain more understanding. Life, we don't stop learning until we're dead. It's a sign of wisdom that the wise are humble enough to constantly be seeking after God's wisdom more and more, no matter what your age. Then in verse 6, Solomon tells us that the book of Proverbs actually gives us the ability to understand the words of the wise. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. Helps us perceive what wise men and women have to say. It teaches us how to learn wisdom from others. That's formative. Learning from others. This book, like the rest of Scripture, intends to change us into wise people, people who have ears to hear. It uses different genres, it uses different phrases, it uses different figures of speech to teach us. In the New Testament, Jesus uses parables. It took work to understand those parables, but more than that, it took ears to hear. transformed by the work of God, the Holy Spirit, the decisions, and then to decide to pursue that wisdom, those things working together enable us to have the ears to hear. All of this is important because as a whole, what do we normally do? What do we normally think? We approach the Scriptures. We even spend time in the Scriptures, but we have this sense that we already know what the answer is. I mean, after all, as a church, we teach the best doctrine, right? So we already know what the answers are. And we approach life that way very often. We approach life with a self-confidence, a self-assurance, convinced that whatever the world brings our way or whatever God brings our way, we can't handle it. And if that's where you are this morning, you might as well get rid of your Bible. Because the Bible's going to be of no use to you if that's where you are this morning. Convinced that you can handle whatever comes your way by yourself. This book is specifically for the perplexed, the confused, the immature, the unsure, those who are awake at night because they just aren't certain of what to do. But this book is also for those who want to grow and be transformed by the renewal of their mind to be closer and closer to the Lord God Himself. All of this prologue and the rest of this book is written to change us into people who seek wisdom over and over again with the kind of intensity that Miles has as he turns over the same rocks, because I haven't changed rocks. And I haven't moved them, but he turns over the same leaf, which he won't be able to do anymore because our plants are all dead. But as he does all that with the same intensity every time we go hunting, always looking for more treasure. Proverbs 4:7, I love this, and I can't wait to get to that point where we preach through this. Proverbs 4:7 says, the beginning of wisdom is this. Now this is how simple Proverbs is. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. Now you'll get to hear the English, I know that's English, but what we would say today when I get there. But you can imagine. Get wisdom. In other words, get it. Make it the priority of your life to seek it with all that you are. Pursue wisdom. Pursue God's wisdom wherever you find it. And then meditate on it day and night so that it becomes part of who you are. And you know what? It doesn't take brains or opportunity to get wisdom. It just takes a decision to seek it. That's all it takes. If you're the Lord's, that's all it takes. Do you want wisdom? God says, come to me and get it. It will take work to pursue wisdom because of all the distractions and all the stuff going on in our minds and our hearts. And it will cost. Getting God's wisdom not only costs the amount of money it takes to get a Bible, but it costs you the luxuries that the world offers. It costs you living among those who look at you strange when you profess the faith. So Proverbs is practical. It's formative. So be encouraged, for this is the way to wisdom. This is the way. This is the Proverbs, and they are formative, enabling us to seek wisdom with all that we are. It says in the Scriptures, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And then we read in Paul, 1 Corinthians, and because of Him, you who are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God. So God is wisdom. When people say, where's wisdom come from? There's only one source. So be encouraged. This book has much to tell us as we live life along the way. But the last reason I want to point out here in this prologue is that the Proverbs are personal. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise instruction. We will look more specifically at this particular passage next week. But having said that, this book is given by God to His children. We need to understand that. This is a book given by God to His children. Most of the kids in here love to get books from their grandparents. Sometimes they even like to get books from us until they get older, and then they're wondering why we're giving them a book. But we love to get the kind of books that are important to our grandparents, and of course, they read it to us. We love that. This is a book given to us by our Father. For those who have ears to hear, those who have been inspired by the Holy Spirit, those we need to see, this is an offering of God's covenantal context, God's covenantal care for those he believes, those he knows love him, that relationship between God and his children. It's not full of promises, but it is a promise in that when we live as he prescribes, we will rejoice in the relationship that continues to grow and grow in the Lord. So it is personal in that it's given to us for our good and for his glory. It is, as we said last week, a long obedience in the same direction, his way, his direction, his rules covenantally to his own. As we've talked about many times, we see house rules throughout the scripture that God calls upon us to keep. But when we do, we get to do this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Without the fear of the Lord, that is, without a changed heart, which is the beginning of wisdom, we can never gain wisdom and rather live our life as the fool who despises wisdom and instruction. Without the fear of the Lord, without the fear of the Lord, knowledge is baseless. It's empty. It's useless. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Without the fear of the Lord, knowledge is divorced from God. Our knowledge divorced from God is like the limb that's cut off of a tree and lays there and dries out and dies, because there's no roots to keep it going. The fear of the Lord is given to us to desire his will, to desire to worship him, to live life along the way. And the fear of the Lord is given to us to change the way we look at wisdom. In this culture, we're told to look within to discover wisdom. Depend on your compass. Depend on that inner compass, which, as the scriptures tell us, is broken at best, enslaved, and in the midst of darkness so you can't see it. The discussion concerning inward search takes many directions today, especially our search within ourselves for our identity and our purpose. A book that I just finished reading called How to Find Yourself by a Christian pastor by the name of Brian Rossner says this: the paradox of personal identity is that those who gaze inwardly to find themselves will lose their identity. And those who look elsewhere, to the Bible, to the church, but specifically to the interest of others, will find their true identity. And there's a whole lot in context around that quote, but I thought the quote sounded helpful. The fear of the Lord. So rather than look into a dead vessel for wisdom, God says, ask me. Then he says, read the answers. Remember James, the half-brother of Jesus, said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let he ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Some of us have 1,700 pages. Some of us have 15. Some of us have over 2,000, depending upon what you have. Here it is. And we're going to be looking at Proverbs, a very specific section on that this time. Here it is. The Word of God. You want wisdom? Get it. It's that simple. Proverbs, along with the rest of the Bible, tells us wisdom will be given through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And it's to be received, and then it's to be put into effective use to glorify God, to love God with our whole heart, body, and soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. The more we increase in knowledge and wisdom of God, the more we delight in adoring Him. But it's only as the Word dwells in us personally and richly that our spiritual life can be filled with the songs of Colossians 3. And it's those spiritual songs that lead us to worship and praise and thanksgiving, which is, by the way, the revelation of the fear of God in you when you seek to do those things. So rather than looking into all the wrong places, like we have a tendency to do for that wisdom that is elusive, let's look to the Proverbs over the course of the next few weeks and receive and get wisdom and insight from the only one who has it. The only one who has it, so that we might live life along the way, His way. Pray with me. Almighty God, we are grateful this day for Your Word that continues to remind us that You've given us all that we need, practically, formatively, and personally, to live life along the way. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the old path, the Ancient of Days. Help us. Guide us, direct us, convict us. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive and then hands to implement. In Jesus' name, amen.